Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Today in the Speakeasy, what's the best way to learn a language? What worked for you? Living in the country, finding a buddy, a friend who speaks that language and you can practice on a fairly regular basis. Maybe it was flashcards, audio lessons, going along to classes, or maybe it was a little bit of alcohol. Linguist Daniel Midgley is here and he does the produces the language podcast Talk the Talk, and because language, he's here right now for you. Hello.
Hi, Belinda.
Is this true?
It might be.
It might be. Do you speak another language?
You know what? This is actually my least favorite question. Everyone asks the linguists this, but in this case, I'm going to allow it. Yeah. I studied Spanish, French, Russian, a little bit of Japanese, but please don't speak Japanese to me. So yeah, I've spent a lot of time in language classes and I've found, you know, kind of what works for me anyway. And I got my start in the linguistics biz when I taught English to other students. So a lot of them would say that drinking helped their English. And I was like, are you actually speaking better or do you just think you're speaking better? But there's a grain of truth to this. So here's the story. Researchers tested 50 native German speakers who had just learned Dutch. So this isn't about English. Or it's a Dutch thing. Some were given a little bit of alcohol and some were given none. And they were asked to have a conversation in Dutch. And then there were some people listening who didn't know whether the people had had a drink or not. And they graded their performance and they found that the drinkers had a little bit better pronunciation and a little bit better fluency.
Is that just confidence coming through?
That sounds pretty plausible, I think. Because what happens is that when you're speaking, some people are different. Some people can just talk and talk and talk, no problem, and they don't feel self-conscious at all. Others of us feel a little more self-conscious. And so when we try to speak another language, we're just self-monitoring. We're just spending a lot of time just thinking about ourselves and thinking, oh, I better get this right, I better get this right. And that hampers our fluency a little bit. So maybe if you take a drink and you lower those inhibitions a little bit, it lowers your speaking inhibitions too.
And you're not doing that self-monitoring, self-assessment all the way through. You're just relaxed.
You're just letting it rip, buddy.
Love to hear from you this afternoon. What has worked for you? Is there any truth to this study that's been done? Maybe a glass or two of alcohol has helped you with your language lessons and you've just been sitting back and it's just conversations flowing after a glass of Chardonnay. Has that been the case for you or has it been something else? What has made the difference to you when you've been learning a language? Let me know.
Be part of the conversation. Call 1300 222 720.
The text is 0437 922 720. Linguist Daniel Midgley here for you in the studio. How much alcohol was it in the study? Did they specify?
Like a drink or two standard?
One standard.
Drink?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, this is kind of important because if you get a lot of drinks, then your performance will probably drop off quite a bit. There's something else that we've got to say here, and that is that this is about pronunciation, which is one important thing about language. The thing is, if you have a lot of drinks, then you start getting into the slurring territory, and that's not great. But there's more to it than just conversation and pronunciation. There's also grammatical analysis, and I don't think that drinking is going to help you very much at that at all. I mean, language is a lot of different things.
And if you keep going with those drinks, even your own language is going to suffer.
Impairment.
After a little while. Did they say at what point it becomes a hindrance in that study, or they didn't go that far?
There was a 1972 study that I found. This actually goes back quite a ways. And I think they found that once you get to about four or five, and they measured it on an empty stomach and not an empty stomach, they found that your performance went down. They said not significantly, which was weird to me, but it does go down a bit, and I can hardly see how it'll help you. You know, if you're trying to come up with the grammatical endings, maybe you'll have a great fluency, but you won't have great accuracy. Remember, those are two parts of the seesaw, right? I always had two kinds of students, the students who were really fluent, but they made loads of mistakes, and I think the drinking will help them. And there were also the really kind of accurate students who had a really hard time coming out with anything. So different students need different things. Maybe the drinking would help the accurate ones.
1-300-222-720. Ken, hello.
Yeah, hi. This was not actually learning a new language. It was actually trying to understand people. And I was in the Air Force up in Butterworth, and I was lucky enough to have new roommates on a monthly rotation, because it was actually Army cooks who used to stay in my room. And the 1973 Grand Final was being played at the Airman's Mess. And these were, and my roommates at the time were Scottish boys, and they were all from Glasgow. So you can imagine what their accents were like.
Yep.
What they said to me was, he said, "Oh, if you can explain how Aussie rules is played, we'll buy you drinks all night." And there were six of them, and in the first half, I had real trouble understanding them. But as these, they were buying me double scotches, by the way.
Okay.
and it was about three a quarter from what I remember. So getting into the second half, I could understand them perfectly.
That's fantastic.
I was really drunk by getting into the final quarter. And I'm sitting there thinking, gee, I can understand every word they're saying now. I don't know what it is.
And Ken, were you using the Scottish accent when you were talking back?
No. that was the thing, was that they'd ask me, so what's he doing now? And I'd explain, and then I'd have to try and understand, but basically that was all they said. And every time I spoke back to them, they'd say, "What'd you say?" And then this was all on, and as I said, it's during the second half, we just understood each other perfectly.
We just clicked at that point.
I think that Ken has identified a significant research gap, because all the studies on this that I've seen have focused on production of the drinker, not comprehension. I think that there's a paper in this.
A new study. 1-300-222-720. This afternoon on Speakeasy, talking about learning languages, because this study has been done and it found just a little bit of alcohol, maybe a glass or two or one or two standard glasses, can actually help.
If that's what you're
in
into.
In this process.
Yeah.
Maybe that's worked for you. Maybe it's been something else. 1-300-222-720 to call through. It reminded me when I was listening to that comment, when you go and see a Shakespearean play and it takes you, your ear to tune to the language, and as soon as you get it, you get the rhythm and you're understanding perfectly, you're right there with it, but it just takes that, I don't know how long, maybe 5 minutes or so for your brain and ear to tune to that.
And I have noticed this with people who have like a really different accent from mine. At first, I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting just a garden variety standard Australian accent. And then I get an accent that I'm not expecting. And my brain goes, whoa, hang on. Right. For like a few seconds. And then I'm able to identify the language. And then maybe it takes a couple more minutes to be able to identify like clearly and fluently what it is they're saying. I think that's true for babies as well. Some people are just really good baby translators because they hang out with the same infant all the time. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
I have had this happen.
1-300-222-720. Hi, Kerry.
Oh, hi. I'm driving, so sorry if I'm not too clear, but I've always found this absolutely fascinating, and I've had two occasions in my life where I've lived overseas and learnt a second language. And the first time I was always absolutely terrified of making mistakes, so I really wasted my exchange year being so careful, and therefore, I didn't become fluent as in enjoying the language. I just only spoke when I knew that I was correct. And the second experience, because of that first, I said to hell with it. I just spoke. I didn't care whether I was correct or not. But I did find, yes, after a couple of drinks, I could understand everything. Everyone could understand me. I'm sure I wasn't that correct. And I also found in my younger years, in the first experience, I had one night of smoking marijuana with a few other expats.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, we could all perfectly understand each other in our second language, and we didn't revert back to our first, which I found hilarious.
Okay.
That is a great story,
that
Kerry.
That is interesting. And I think, you know, the attitude that we bring, some people are really careful learners, and you can do pretty well on that. But I really like the attitude that you had toward your second go. You know, whatever, I'm just going to get out there. If people don't understand me, then actually, do you know what? That's it's not great. It's not very fun, but it is really useful input. And in fact, there's a whole hypothesis about how languages are learned called the interaction hypothesis, where, you know, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me, I say something, It doesn't come out right. It's not quite right. And then you go, eh, what was that? And then my brain goes, uh-oh, I said something and that wasn't the right way to say it. I'm going to try a different way. I mean this. And then they say, do you mean that? And so what's happening is you're getting instant feedback. You're having to learn to say things a different way, which is good for your brain, and probably getting it right. So that whole getting out there and just doing it is just really good. It's so hard. It's really difficult to do, but it is a good way to go.
I used to find with my nonna, I could understand what she was saying in Italian, mm-hmm. but it was the struggle conversing back.
Isn't that interesting?
So, you know, perfectly. Anything she said, I totally understood, but then to answer her in Italian was the challenge.
Actually putting the sentences together.
Yeah.
I had kind of the opposite. Just me. I did this thing when I was learning Spanish. I would just get, when I was all by myself, I would work out sentences and how to say them, and I would think of what I was going to say in English, and then I would try saying it in Spanish, probably terrible. But as a result, I got really good at putting sentences together, and when somebody would say something to me, then that was hard for me. I just had a really hard time because, you know, people talk so fast. That's what people always say, right? So I just had the opposite experience. I'm an okay speaker, just not a great listener.
11 minutes to 4 on ABC Radio Perth. This is Speak Easy, linguist and host of the podcast Talk the Talk, Daniel Midgley, right here for you. And talking about how we learn languages, and it sort of kicked off, the conversation kicked off because this study's been done about a couple of standard glasses may in fact help you learn a language. This through on text, Alan says, I'm fluent in Dutch. What does this mean about my sobriety? And this from Bethany in Maylands. Hi, Bethany. I'm in high school, and the thing that works best for me is talking to exchange students or people that can speak fluently already, and then I can learn from their speaking. And that's to be surrounded by people like that when you're trying to learn the language. Can't go wrong, really, can you?
It's difficult to be immersed, but it's good to have somebody sympathetic who you can talk to. And there are apps that help you join up with somebody who is willing to speak the language with you. This is actually really good. One thing that seems to help is, I'm going to say this very fancily, having an affinity for the target culture. That is to say, liking the people who speak the language you're trying to learn. If you don't like the people and you don't like the culture and you don't like the TV, then you might have a harder time. You'll kind of hold the language at emotional arm's length. But if you like the people, if you like the language, if you think that the language is kind of cool and the people are kind of cool, that's a really good predictor of success. And if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a partner who speaks the other language, that's also really good. My students who had boyfriends or girlfriends in the other in English, always did very well.
9 to 4. Just an update on the traffic for you. There's been a crash. Abernathy Road is closed westbound. This is at Fulham Street in Cloverdale. The right turn lane is also blocked eastbound. Emergency and incident response services are on site and traffic is slow on approach. Just repeating that crash. Abernathy Road is closed westbound at Fulham Street, Cloverdale. The right turn lane also blocked eastbound. And the emergency and incident response services are on site. Let's wrap up today. Daniel, how do we do that?
Language learning isn't just one skill. It's a lot of different skills working together. So if you're a little bit inhibited, then maybe that'll help you. But you'll still have to work on the other skills that make a good language learner, like memory, motivation, grammar analysis, learning to make good guesses, and just being a good social noticer. So this isn't the whole picture, but it might be a little tiny bit.